There is nothing finer than to enjoy Paul Jackson Jr. in my ears and on my phone. I just cannot express to you how exciting it is to talk to Paul Jackson Jr. And Paul, I just feel, someone at your level. I said, we had some tall cotton in here this afternoon. talking to this brother right here. You have done so many tremendous things in music and multi-awards and all that, but you're just the coolest dude. And, I'll get a happiness in my heart to know that we get to put the spotlight on you today and your project, Quiet Time Love. Now, first and foremostly, before I go all into asking you 1,000 questions, how are you doing?
I'm actually quite good. Interesting, about 3 weeks ago, myself, my wife, my daughter, my sax player, and about 6 more of our friends all got COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but praise God, we're all doing fine. Fine, back in the swing of things. And, I'm not telling folks what to do one way or another, but we were vaccinated and boosted. And so it was kind of like somewhere between a cold and a flu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were vaccinated and boosted.
Yeah, me too.
At least you had enough sense to do that instead of arguing about it. I'm like, well, how did you?
Right.
Send you a life raft and you're just saying, let it go by. Okay.
Right. A helicopter, whatever you need to get out of trouble. It's like, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The water's rising. Oh, okay. This is I'm sure the Lord looks down at the sometimes and say, oh, you people. You people.
You people.
Oh, Lord God Almighty. Anyway, Paul, I see that you have written under Quiet Time Love on the Stompin' Willie Presents More Stories Part 1. You say one of the things that the pandemic caused us all to do is to stop, reflect, and hopefully be still long enough to learn something. And you put Psalms 46:10. And you say, you also write, I did a lot of reflecting and writing while at home. Being quiet helped me to hear from God and to create some things that maybe would not have been done. I had not slowed down, and I know that you haven't, because you're the go-to brother. You're the go-to brother for some good guitar playing, man. But anyway, you go on to further say this is one of the songs that we just heard that came out of his pandemic stillness and reflection, Quiet Time Love. That is a beautiful song, Paul, and I'm just glad that you put that on there because it does give you that feeling of reflection.
Yeah. You run around a lot. A lot of things happen. It just gave me a chance to, like you said, be quiet and work on music and think, and pray and listen to God, listen to people and think about folks, and so it was a really, as well as a bad time, it was a good time for me as well.
Yeah. Well, and you probably needed that time, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely. Been running around and teaching. I'm a professor at USC under the great Patrice Rushen. So, teaching and then recording and my band and then the band I have with Jeff Lorber and Everett Harp, Jazz on Soul, us working and working on another project. So a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, and I'm sure your body was relieved to get a break anyway. Sometimes it takes that stuff for us to slow down for a minute. What's Doggy's name I heard barking in the background?
Well, let's see. We got 3 of them. We've got Judah, we've got Elsa, and our new puppy is named Jackson.
Okay.
So,
They will be accompanying us today on the interview, y'all. So,
well, hopefully not too much.
I was having before. I know during one time I had birds chirping. And, you know, we just work with what we got. But anyway, Paul, you know, just there's so many things that, in so many ways, people don't understand. You've heard him. You know, you hear his playing in so many songs and with so many people. But I will tell you that the highlight of my life, the last time you were on as Artist of the Week, I had the best conversation with you. Because I think that was our first spotlight. I didn't realize that you hadn't done that many solo projects. You know, for somebody that's been around as long as you have.
Well, my problem is it takes me so long to do them. You know, it ends up being like, you know, a year or two between, or sometimes longer between projects. I've actually done a total of 8. But fortunately, they've been, you know, pretty successful. I had several, like 6 number one records at jazz radio. So it just, unfortunately, it just takes me a little longer to do projects. And interesting story. I was working on the follow-up to Stories from Stompin' Willie when we went to be able to start recording Life and Times for Jazz Funk Soul. So I put the follow-up on hold so we could finish Life and Times, and then, you know, got busy doing some other stuff. And so finally, like I said, releasing Stompin' Willie Presents More Stories, Part 1. You know, but yeah, so, you know, there's stuff going on, but yeah, this is number 8.
Wow. Well, it seems like you've been around longer than that. I know you started in the 80s and all that. But, you know, you have been, your influence has been in so many people's music. And, you know, I 10:30 every night when Jay Leno was hosting The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Sharon Kay was watching for you.
I appreciate that. As Ricky Miner's mom used to call me, the little brown fellow standing next to you. Whenever we would do a show, American Idol or, you know, the Grammys or the whatever we were doing, his mom would say, you know, hey, I see you got the little brown fellow standing next to you again.
Man, listen, you just, I was like, man, people see, they don't, some people may have known who you were on there, and, you know, some others may not, but Jay had the best band, and putting you on it, he was a smart dude, and he was, and I must say, and the show hadn't been the same since, okay, I know John Baptiste does his best, but I'm just saying, now, Paul, you are, considered by many as like the go-to guitar for everything, and you have an incredible history with some really fantastic people, and you had time in all this to teach a class, did I hear you say?
Well, I teach several classes, yeah. Actually, I teach performance classes with Patrice Rushen. I teach private lessons. And, you know, it's a blessing because what happened with me is I realized that I have a lot of experience and a lot of great stuff that the Lord has allowed me to get over, you know, 40-plus years.
Yes.
And I don't want that stuff to die with me, you know. And if I can impart some of that to some other people, not that I want anybody to play like me, but maybe take some of my experiences in recording and approaches to sound and approaches to coming up with parts and things, and take that and maybe have a head start in their career, then what they used to say in terms of my living won't be in vain.
Yeah, there you go. That's what they say.
So, so that's, you know, that's what got me to, you know, to want to teach. And Patrice made me the offer to come aboard and work under her. Mm-hmm. And since I've known her all of my life, literally, I said, where do I sign up, you know?
Yeah. Well, and tell me what it's like for the generationally, for the students, you know, I don't know how much of anything outside of their own genres that they like, they know, as far as other musicians and this and that. What's the experience been like for you? What was the experience like for you?
Well, you know, that's the good thing, because what we do in the pop program is we teach them old music. We teach them old R&B. We teach them old rock and roll so that they understand that the foundation for all the stuff that they're hearing and playing is African-American soul music. And, you know, and since we're the creators of rock and roll, you know, they get a foundation of where all this stuff came from. So, you know, when you hear Daft Punk or Harry Styles or Dua Lipa or any of these folks or Lizzo, and you go, where did that groove come from? Well, that groove came from Johnny Taylor. That groove came from Esther Phillips. That groove came from Earth, Wind, and Fire. That groove came from the Stylistics, you know. And so that's what we teach them.
How many people get worked up when you say that it came, the old school stuff, you know, the Chuck Berry and all that, it came from black people? Do they think that it was all Elvis Presley? I mean, what are they thinking, man? Rock and roll.
Well, you know, that's funny, is Cher used to care, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, the truth is the truth. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't stop it from being the truth.
Yeah.
And fortunately, they have started to admit, at least admit, maybe not accept yet, but admit that the foundation of rock and roll, and for that matter, the foundation of jazz, is African-American music. So, you know, you can get mad if you want, or you can just accept it and go on and learn something, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you have, you know, in your mind, even like, oh, Lord, here we go. You know, there's always someone who's not convinced yet, but they just hopefully can do some homework. And maybe one day they'll teach or know. So is that what you, with the students, are they inquisitive generationally? And how long have you been an educator?
Well, let's see. This is actually my fifth year at USC. I just started full-time this year, part-time. But about 5 years. And the good thing is they are inquisitive because, fortunately, at least in the case of myself and Patrice, you know, they Google. And when they realize, say, wait a minute, he played with Michael Jackson and Daft Punk.
Uh-huh.
You know, he played with Ella Fitzgerald and Nipsey Hussle.
Yes.
You know, he played with Stanley Clarke and The Weeknd.
Uh-huh.
It's like, wait a minute, Patrice, she had a number one R&B record and number one jazz record, and she scored television shows, and she scored movies. So then it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, how do I get some of this? So the good thing is that, you know, they have Google. See, you and I, we didn't have Google.
No, we didn't.
But they have Google.
No.
And Instagram and stuff, so they get a firsthand, you know, kind of look at some of the things that we've done, which is a good thing. So they're fortunately very inquisitive.
Yeah, and rightly so, because I mean, literally, your credits are like the who's who of the music industry, and I am like, is there anybody left that's alive that you haven't worked with on playing guitar or being a featured artist? Who's left? Because I'm looking down a massive list, man. This is massive. And I've been scrolling now for quite some time, and I still am nowhere near the middle. I'm like, holy cow. So who haven't you worked with? I mean, seriously, I'm looking. I don't see a name not on here.
Well, I've yet to work with Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I got a chance to work with, I just saw his name, too, black country artist. Just played with him in New York. We did the Kennedy Center Honors.
Okay.
But, to work with him, you know, that's a good question. I don't really think about it much because I got enough to keep me busy, but there's still a lot of folks that I haven't worked with.
I don't know who else could fit on this list, man. I'm like, holy smokes, dude. It just literally does not end. And with cred like this, when you're at home, Paul, okay, you're just a regular Paul, right?
Yeah, you know, my wife teases me. She's like, I say, yeah, baby, don't you know I'm a star? And she's like, okay, star, take the trash out and clean up after the dog.
That's what you do.
Right.
I love it, man.
I tell people, and I got this from her uncle, that I have the last words in my house, and those words are yes, dear.
And those are two of our favorite words, okay? There's no question. And I bet you some years in you had to learn that, or did you already know? You and your wife been married.
Oh, no, I had to learn it.
Okay. See, it doesn't come packaged. You don't come packaged like that, man.
No.
Yeah, we have help y'all.
Yeah, her uncle straightened me out. He.
He's absolutely right. And, you know, I do also want to say that I know that Ben Tankard, didn't he get a number one with you on there?
He did, absolutely.
Okay. And, I mean, a lot of these people got number ones because you were on the project. So, yeah, at home, he got to take out the trash.
Yeah, you know, right, exactly. You know, I had one last year with Dave Koz that went to number one in Billboard. And I said, baby, I got number one with Dave Koz. He's like, yeah, that's good. Go get the groceries out the car.
Right. Yeah, that's how you stay grounded. That's it. I love it.
Yeah.
And how many children do you have?
I have two children. I have a daughter who's 34, and I have a son who's 30.
Are they musically inclined, Paul?
They are. In fact, on the new project, my daughter is the one doing all the vocals on Love Like This.
Oh, really now?
Yeah.
Okay, because that you started your first single out with City of Refuge off of this project. And we are currently on Love Like This. So featuring Jeff Lorber and Lindsey Jackson is your daughter?
Lindsey Jackson is my daughter, yeah.
Oh. Wow, okay, cool. That's how you keep it in the family, Daddy. That's how you do it.
Keep it going. Nepotism is not dead.
Yeah, absolutely. Legacy. And you think one day soon she might join you on the stage or something?
Well, it's interesting because 3 weeks ago we did a release party here in Los Angeles, and she did. She came up and sang. It was quite wonderful.
Oh,
yeah, so that was more to come.
Okay, because it was nothing that made me happier to see Gerald Brown Albright and his daughter Selena.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just like, that is so cute. I just love it. I mean, you know, and the audience loves it as well. Now, I want to ask you this. First and foremost, thank you for being so wonderful. And let me tell the listeners, this is the TLC y'all are getting today. When Paul sent his music today, you personally sent it to, didn't you?
I sure did, yeah.
I knew it had a personal touch on it. Okay, he autographed every single one of these with gold ink. I'm like, nothing's too good for my audience here in Nashville. The gold ink matches one of the CDs, and he ends up sending two. Now, let me get the story. Okay, because I was like, okay, what is going on here? Because I didn't know how this was going to come. And also, you have stories. You sent stories from Stompin' Willie.
Uh-huh.
And you also sent Stompin' Willie Presents More Stories Part 1.
Yes.
So combined, these two projects equal 15 cuts. And you broke it up into two.
Well, yeah. Stories from Stompin' Willie came out about 3 years ago. And like I said, I had two number one singles off of that, Down the Road and BFAM that I wrote with Brian Culbertson. Mm-hmm. And so More Stories, Part 1, I broke it up because I said, well, let me get some music out, do an EP. And so later this year, or probably early next year, mm-hmm. I will release Part 2. You know, the last another EP, so that'll be like another 5 or 6 tunes.
So you have, I knew there was going to be something else come after this. Now, let's get the story or the legend of Stompin' Willie.
Yes. Well, let's see. That was a name given me by the late, great George Duke, and I would go over to George's house to work, and everybody used to call me PJ. So he'd say, PJ's here. Then he started calling me P.J. Wiggles, because he had a song called Wiggles. P.J. Wiggles. Then he called me P.J. Wiggles Stomp. Then that went to Judge Wigglesthumb. I show him, Wigglesthumb, how you doing? Then Wigglesthumb somehow transformed into Stompin' Willie. And so George, right up until the time that he passed away, called me Stompin' Willie.
Okay. That sounds so much like him. And I love
exactly.
this.
Yeah,
so when you all get this for these projects, this is like so special. Because you sign both of them, and they'll come together when you come up. But what I really enjoy is, you know, on the inside of the stories from Stompin' Willie, there's a lovely photo of you and George. Where was this? I mean, George Stewart, where was this?
I think that particular photo was actually in front of his house. We had finished doing a session, and we were leaving, and we took that picture. I was leaving, and we took that picture.
How long was this before he had passed?
Oh, gosh. That picture, I think, was taken about 15 years before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, I have lots of pictures with him from Japan, from with other folks, and all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Because I noticed y'all did look rather young on here.
yeah. I had... And hair.
Well, I would tell you, I miss George Duke, and I talk about that all the time. You work with him and had a lot of history with him.
Yeah.
Can you speak on that for a minute for us?
Well, it's interesting. The way I met George was I was working with a vocalist by the name of Lynn Davis, who also sang with George, and she was working on a solo project that George is producing, and she told George, I want my buddy Paul to play on it. And I came to play on that project, and that began a almost 40-year relationship, me working with George. Actually, I worked with him on that project, and I worked with him on the last project that he did, which was a standards album that Jeffrey Osborne did. And so I worked with him all the way. And just a great friend, toured with him, and just a wonderful, wonderful mentor, very encouraging, just an amazing, amazing person.
Well, you know, I had the opportunity, the blessing to interview him a couple times over the years. And he always had 1,000 stories.
Yeah. That's George.
So with you all together, I know there was a lot of laughing going on, right?
Oh, all the time. And we don't talk about we didn't talk about it a lot, but there was a trip in Japan where we were supposed to film a live concert, and one by one, all the instruments on stage failed.
Oh my God. So
we had to do it again, but it was just amazing that in one show that many things could go wrong. we had great times.
Well, I'm sure that you got stories for days. You know, I was looking back at all the things that you've done and all the work and your 8 releases, I didn't happen to notice a gospel jazz one in there, Paul.
You know, it's interesting. I've done gospel tunes on just about every record. And then, you know, did the Gospel According to Jazz, Chapter 1 and 2 with Kirk.
Yeah.
And that is coming. I just haven't done it yet. But that is something that will be coming.
Oh, excellent. I'm happy. Because I noticed that, you know, you stay grounded and rooted. So you take that with you everywhere you go when it comes across in your music. So, yes, and could you get to working on that with the quickness?
Sharon, I will do it. Absolutely.
I mean, simply because there are so many people. We have a gospel jazz show on Sundays from 12 to 2 called Joy and Jazz. And when I get off the air that morning, I put it together for the day. But the people that you know, are just getting out of service or getting off from work, they always tell me that they love what you all are doing in terms of that. They love the regular format, but they really do enjoy you all's gospel jazz. So I want to encourage all of you all, instead of sneaking a cut in on an album, go on and do a whole one.
Got you.
Please. Because you know the people. I mean, it's not like you say Kirk and Ben and all these people. You got that and everybody else. So we'll be looking forward to that. Now, Paul, since I know that you had some time at home from the pandemic and all. And did you and the band continue to communicate, or how did you all handle that? I know, like, everybody did all the Zooming and all that, but what else happened for y'all?
We talked a lot on the phone and just sending emails of encouragement and let them know what kind of what was going on. And then the good thing is the new project features most of the band. Freddie Llewellyn on bass, Dion Causey on drums, and Racine Calhoun on saxophone. So they got a chance to come in the studio and actually work on the CD. So that was good. So just kind of, keep it all in the family. And the other thing is that the sound that you hear on the record is the sound you hear live. So. So we got a chance to really communicate and talk and hang out and encourage each other,
Yeah. So now at the house, when you're back home off the road and everything, and it's time for lunch, who's in the kitchen?
Well, it depends. A lot of times, it's obviously my wife. A lot of times it is me. My specialty really is smoking. So, ribs and chicken and things like that. And then I also used to bake when I was a kid. I used to love to bake stuff. Oh, yeah, I was good. I baked, cookies, cakes, homemade bread, all kinds of stuff. I was good.
So you're a grill master. Is that what I hear you saying?
I'm a grill master. I'm telling you, Darren, I'm nice. I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, so he would fix the ribs and the brisket and all that. He'd also do the dessert. So, I mean, that's worth the trip.
There you go.
And, Paul, where will you be in the coming months and weeks? I know you're on the road. And are you on the road with Jazz Funk Soul 2 as well as doing your own solo project?
Absolutely. Actually, this June the 3rd, we'll be in the Lyman Center in I think it's Connecticut, and then followed up with a festival in New Jersey. And then October, I will be at Catalina Island and also in Barbados with my buddy Elon Trotman. Mm-hmm. And what else we got coming up? We're going to do a theater in Chicago with Jazz Funk Soul. So we've got a lot of things that are coming up and a lot of things that are on the books that we're putting together now. So
and also,
just check out the website.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, give them your website as well. What is it?
Yeah, it's pauljacksonjr.com. It lets you know where I'm going to be, and it also lets you buy tickets, which is great. You just hit one button, and you're buying tickets, so it's really great. It's pauljacksonjr.com.
Okay, and Paul, I just also want to tell you, since the last time that we had you on as the WFSK Artist of the Week, you lost your mom, and we want to send some love out to you on that. And can you talk about her impact before we go in your life and career?
Well, my mom and dad are the picture of sacrifice. I remember my mom's daily car, her daily driver, was the biggest band that Chevy made. So she could haul instruments, and me and my brothers and sisters and me and my friends. And then when I started doing sessions, we'd load up my guitar, her band with all my instruments and drop them off at the studio. And then I tell the story that when I was about 16 years old, for Christmas, my dad took his Christmas bonus and bought me a really, really good guitar, a Gibson guitar. And the interesting thing was, 16 years old, I hadn't done anything, really, So they just did it by faith and the music lessons, and then, allowing me to study music as a career, with USC as a music major. And, a lot of parents, especially back then, said, well, I don't know about that music thing. You better go get you a real job.
Amen. They didn't say that.
And for them, music was a real job, So I owe, basically everything to them for the sacrifices they made and the encouragement and the push that they made forward to allow me to examine being creative and to have a career in music.
Yeah, definitely. And, I said, oh, gosh, I know that was painful for him. And I didn't want you to think that, I know you guys go through so much, and you're just a precious person. So I wanted to know you to know that we're thinking about you in this.
Well, much appreciate that, Sharon.
Most definitely. Okay, guys, if you want to get on the Paul Jackson Jr. website, please do get the schedule. You can get the album, do what you want to do. Can they order off of there, too, Paul?
Yes, actually, we set up an online store right now. We are selling CDs. We're selling hats. We're selling T-shirts. If I get a used car that I'm going to sell, I'm going to put that on the website. Absolutely. They can get autographed CDs right on the website, and okay. Like I said, hats, T-shirts, and more merchandise to come.
Okay, excellent. Well, I can't thank you enough, and I just appreciate so much all the beautiful work that you've done, the body of work over your career, and you have really, really made a mark in music, and I'm honored to have a chance to talk to you.
Well, it was a blessing to be here, Sharon. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, of course. All right, Paul, you have a good rest of the day, and then you can let the dogs out now. Cause I know they've been like, I can't bark.
Right, I can't bark, can't make any noise, can't do anything.
So, at ease, everybody. Anyway, Paul, I just thank you, and I hope that you have a good rest of the day.
Well, you as well. Thank you. Thanks, Sharon.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all. That's, you know, I mean, just the fact that the brother is on everybody's project.